Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Chris Gibson, you've announced that you're not going to run for another term. There's a lot of speculation by a lot of people, including me, I'm sorry about that, that you might run for governor. And you see right now the dysfunction of the government that we're talking about. We see ethics reform. Many of the things that you've called on are at play. What do you make of all of this?
Well, we absolutely need ethics reform here in New York State. I think that's become ever more clear. Just for clarity, since the very beginning, I term limited myself.
Yes, you did.
You know, firmly believing in a rotation of office, something that we actually had in the Articles of Confederation. A term limit, basically called rotation of office. Yeah, it's true when we moved to the Constitution, we did not bring it over. But then it's because the founders made a conscious choice to have a very narrowly written Constitution, very tight. In fact, if you think about it, even the Bill of Rights wasn't in the Constitution. It came as the first 10 amendments. And our first president felt so strongly about rotation of office that he self-imposed term limits. So I just want to make that clear. But you're absolutely spot on that, you know, this all comes from a philosophy that absolute power corrupts absolutely. So you want to diffuse power. That includes across institutions, but even within institutions. So we need term limits for the state legislature. 15 states have that right now. And we need term limits in our governor. Look, some of these things being talked about now, I support more sunlight into outside income. And either that or limiting the amount of income, like we do for U.S. representatives, no more than $25,000 can somebody make from the outside. So you have a choice there. You can either go to a more professional legislature with no outside or very little, $10,000 or $15,000, $25,000 outside, or you can stick with the concept you have now and have sunlight in terms of where they get their money. I further would argue that we need more reforms than just that. You look at how the power is accrued within the institution. The speaker and the majority leader, in my view, are too powerful. These allowances that go to our assemblymen and assemblywomen, they have to basically go on their knees to the speaker, and that hurts their representation. And if you think about it this way, the day after the revelations came out about the speaker, the Democratic conference in the assembly was strongly behind the speaker. They feared him. They feared him because of all the power he had accrued over two decades. This has got to change, too. You know, so we need ethics reform. There's more we could talk about there if you're interested. But we need to diffuse power. We need to diffuse power within the institutions. There are changes that we can take, and we need to take it. Because really, it's about us, a government of the people, by the people, for the people.
Andrew Cuomo is now talking about an amendment which would allow us to take away pensions from those people who have broken the law. Is that a good idea?
Absolutely. And I'm surprised it's not in law at this moment. So absolutely, we need to do that.
And when you look at some of the other things, you really wonder what it is that keeps the members of the legislature fighting on this. Is that they just can't envision giving this stuff up? Is that what it's about?
Well, I don't know, but we can't accept it. I think that one of the things we saw with the unfolding of Speaker Silver is that, you know, the day after, as I mentioned, he had strong support within the conference. So it's fair to ask, what changed? Mm. Well, what changed is there was a lot of pressure home for these assemblymen and women, even who were in very strong Democratic seats, the belief that through media exposure and other things that this had to change. He had to go. So, you know, I think that, you know, this is what we have to do with regard to this ethics reform package is that, you know, we the people need to get organized and insist that it get done.
This is a tough question, but it's not one which I've been afraid to answer. Do you trust Andrew Cuomo? The reason I say that is that on several occasions he has been for things which turn out to have been compromised away. And that bothers me a great deal. I don't dislike the guy at all, but I do think this is a pattern that worries me.
Well, look, given my experiences in Iraq and my study of international relations— it really comes down to this. It comes down to verification. You know, so whether you're talking about a peace agreement in some form around the world, or if you're talking about anything for that matter with regard to effectuating change in a democratic society, it comes down to verification. So, you know, ultimately, as I've said, you know, leaders get a long rope when it comes to, you know, what kind of style, you know, a long leash in terms of, you know, what kind of style that they want to take. But at the end of the day, they're going to be judged on their results. So we're going to have to wait and see. I get to your point that there have been promises and they've been unfulfilled. Absolutely, they've been unfulfilled. By any reasonable standard, Governor Cuomo has failed on this issue of reforming Albany. You just, you know, even closing down the Moreland Commission and then saying he got what he wanted on ethics reform. And then in the aftermath of this latest revelation with Speaker Silver, you have to ask, really? You got everything that you were looking for? No. We've got a long way to go on this. So we're going to find out. You know, there's certainly going to be some angsting and some conflict here. But I hope at the end of this session that we're going to have significant ethics reform.
Talk to me just a moment. I know your wonderful wife has been in the forefront of those calling for more attention to suicide in this country. We saw the Oscars, in which several people stood up and talked about that and how important it was in this country and how much more we had to do. What do you make of all of this?
Well, first of all, thank you for acknowledging that. My wife, incredible lady, remarkably involved in every way in my time in the Army as a commander's wife, now supporting the community in terms of helping co-chair the Congressional Spouses Group for Suicide Awareness and Prevention. She's a licensed clinical social worker. Yes, we need more focus on this, but it's broader than that. It's support for mental health is really what it is, because when you dive into the details of suicide attempts and completed suicides, in almost every case, it comes from a very severe mental health condition. So, you know, this has really been her passion. We did get a bill done. I'm proud to say I was there last, I guess it's been about 10 days now, I was at the White House. The president signed into law the Clay Hunt Suicide Awareness and Prevention Act, and this is helping our veterans who are suffering from post-traumatic stress. It does three things. The first thing is it does an audit of all of our mental health programs with an eye towards best practices. I think this is important because I have seen some programs do well and other programs do not so well. So when you do the audit, you'll identify this, and that leads to the second point of the bill, is there'll be a website that lists the best practices. So those programs that are endeavoring to do better, certainly with great intentions, but not yet making the grade, will be able to have access to those best practices. And the third point of the bill is it sets up scholarships for Americans who are inspired to serve our veterans who are dealing with post-traumatic stress. If they'll commit to service in that, along those lines, then their Master's of Social Work or their psychiatry education will be paid for by the taxpayer. So scholarships set up for those who are endeavoring to get in the field of helping our veterans deal with post-traumatic stress. So I wouldn't suggest for a moment that this is a solve-all. It's not a panacea, but it is a step in the right direction. And I also think it's an acknowledgement of mental health that really it's a spectrum. You know, you think about when we were growing, well, I'm 50 this year. I mean, I guess when I was growing up, it is sort of this idea that you were either mentally well-adjusted or you were suffering, when in fact there's really a spectrum. And we move back and forth on the spectrum of mental health over the course of our life. And when we take that seriously, then we know there are times in our lives when we need more support than others.
Brilliant, in my opinion. Congressman Chris Gibson, Republican of New York's 19th District, in office since 2011. Chris, thank you so much for showing up and for being here with us. We always love having you sitting right across from us.
Thank you, Alan, and best wishes to all the listeners out there.